1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's time for Sully's College Football Page on 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Online at BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Sully's College Football Page is brought to you by Hilltop Auto Wrecking, Advantage Insurance, the U.S. Army, Tommy's Express Car Wash, Dwayne's Cover It All, Buck's Golf Shop, Jim Kreshock Jewelry, The Travel Leaders, Sun Printing, Lobnose, the Eye Clinic of Wisconsin, Peterson Kramer Funeral Home, Mentner Hardwoods, Krasowski Dental, the Cloverbelt Credit Union, April Rosemurgy EXP Realty, France Propane, Subway, Webco of Wausau, Kuhn Hearing Center, Carmelo's and Rip Mountain Golf Course, The Dirks Group, The Intermission Lounge, St. Vincent de Paul, The Brokaw Credit Union, Trap River Golf Course, The Central Wisconsin School of Ballet, Red Clover Market, Charlie's Bar, Zillman's, Joe Raider Towing, Mountain Bay Auto Care, The Mint Cafe, The North End Pub, Big Fat Design, The U.S. Navy, The People's State Bank, Kemp Service, Newman Catholic Schools, and Champion Insurance. It's time now for Sully's College Football Page on 98.9 WXCO. And good morning and welcome to the final episode of Sully's College Football Page for the 2024 college football season that now, of course, ends in early 2025. Last time we get to hear that listing of all those fantastic sponsors. And again, I guess, well, I'm sure we'll have a chance as we continue. But boy, you got so many folks that are willing to support Sully's College Football Page, both the website and the show. And I'm sure that, again, could not do it without them, could
no,
you?
No, absolutely not. And, you know, I can't tell you how much I appreciate, you know, what they do for the show. And, you know, we do try to get them little paraphernalia every now and then, which is, you know, kind of a weak attempt at a thank you. You know, but nonetheless, without them, obviously, we don't do this. So been, very appreciative.
It's been quite a run. I mean, it's hard to believe the first show was back in mid-August.
Yes.
It's been the longest college football season in history, and it all comes down to Monday night's game between Notre Dame and Ohio State. And we're going to talk here about the bracket that
we
got
are.
Us to this point. But as we get down to the championship game, before we actually break it down, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the first 12-team college football playoff tournament?
I'd give it a 9. I'd give it 75% accurate. You know what really hurt them, I thought, I guess to start on a negative note, was the seeding. You know, I like the idea of getting 5 conference champs a access, you know, to the tournament. But I think we ended up with the way it was seeded was not very accurate. And so I think we really need to discriminate between who gets a bid, and I'm fine with the 5 conference champions.
Mm-hmm.
But then once that's determined, then it really needs, Chad, in my humble opinion, to be reseeded.
Yeah, automatic berths okay, but not automatic seeding.
There you go. That's better said, yes.
Well, let's talk about what we have seen, what the road was, the yellow brick road that led to Atlanta and the national championship game. The first round, as you said it, it was interesting because for the first time in a playoff, we had on-site games.
And we did.
And I think the general feel is, those were very, very exciting. Got a lot of juice to get things underway.
Yeah, I would say that was of the 75% that we celebrated, that might have been as much as 50% of it, given those 4 teams, those, you know, the 5 through 8 seeds had a home game. And I would say of all of the cool things that went on in this first year of the 12-game playoff, that might have been the coolest, having a home game, you know, at Texas, at Ohio State, at Notre Dame, and such, all very good. Penn State, I
well, Well, let's talk about the first brackets, the matchups. You got number 12, Clemson. And for much of the year, they were a team that was iffy to get into the playoff, but they were able to find a way in the ACC championship game. And they played Texas in the first round, the number 5 seed. But how do you want to break this down? You want to talk a little bit about Clemson first?
Sure. Let's just kind of talk about the seed. And I'd also like to point out where their recruiting rank was, so we kind of get a sense of their roster. You're 100% right, Chad, about Clemson being kind of the forgotten guy. You know, they talked more about Dabo not wanting to use the transfer right. portal. What happened to them? If you remember, the first game of the year, they took on Georgia. Georgia beat them 34-3, and it looked like Clemson was not going to be able to compete with the big dogs. And that kind of hung around, and then the season went on, and they were winning, and then they got beat by Louisville, and you kind of pushed them back, but then they kept playing. There were some upsets in the Big 12. Primarily, if you remember, Kansas kept beating everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, Coach Leipold from Whitewater, and all of a sudden, here's Clemson in the ACC championship game, and they give SMU their first loss, and there they are. They get the number 12 seed.
Something that I think we're going to learn as we go through these numbers is that it was not good to be one of the bottom 4 seats. It was not good to be one of the top 4 seats.
Exactly right.
The middle was where it was all at.
It's right. You know, and Clemson, from a recruiting standpoint, is the 8th best recruiting program in the country. So getting into the top 12, which they just got in, would be consistent with where they're ranked the 8th best recruiting program in the country.
Another ACC team was number 11, Southern Methodist. And, you know, it can't be anything but considered a fantastic first year back into a power conference for SMU.
Well, how about the fact that SMU was so desperate to get into a Power Four conference that a lot of people don't know this, but they took no money from the ACC. They simply told them, you got to pay us a thing, just get us in. And so the ACC got them in, and lo and behold, SMU goes 8-0 in the regular season in conference play, and they got to the championship game before they lost to an ACC team. They had obviously not played Clemson during the regular season, but what a great year for them.
Mm-hmm. And then another Cinderella this year, one of probably the big stories of 2024 in college football, the number 10 seed Indiana. And one thing that I've been hearing from people in terms of some of the stories, Indiana's 2 losses, the 2 top teams left.
You know, yeah. Say what you want about Cignetti, and he, I didn't know a thing about him personally. You know, right. I just knew that he had some really good successes in his journey, and especially, you know, when he got to James Madison. But I'll tell you, this guy managed to offend everybody in the Big Ten.
Yes, he did.
Probably twice. You know, and I should mention they were the 51st. Best recruiting program in the country, and yet we all know what they did with the transfer portal. And let me go back for just a moment to SMU. They were dead last as a recruiting program. They were 70th of the 70 Power Four teams, counting Oregon State, Washington State, and Notre Dame. There are 70 then. They were dead last, and yet they were the 11th seed in the tournament. And Indiana, right out of the blue, as you mentioned, were the 10th seed. Mm.
And the final first-round loser was the number 9 seed, Tennessee. Interesting year for Tennessee. They had some real big highs. It looked like maybe they were going to be even a higher-ranked team at the end of the year. They had some stubbed toes during the run as well. And ultimately, probably a disappointing end with that loss to Ohio State.
Yeah, you know... When you're talking about Tennessee, there are times to kind of pair what you said. They look like they might be the best team in the country, yeah. You know, and they out of nowhere, they got beat by Sammy Pittman in Arkansas. Shocker. You know, I think that score was 19-14. And then the only other game they lost was to Georgia. You know, Georgia beat them 31-17. But they finally, this year, were able to beat Florida. Florida had beaten them 17-19 going into that game. And Florida was not playing very well. And just to show you, sometimes to get rid of a bugaboo, it was overtime. You know what I mean? Tennessee was playing at a really high level. Florida, not so much. And yet the game went down to OT. And then, of course, Tennessee ran into what was an absolute buzzsaw with Ohio State at the shoe in that first playoff game.
And the recruiting?
Oh, and the recruiting. Tennessee recruits really well. They're ranked 15th. Their composite score, what we do, Chad, and we've said this many times, we use ESPN Rivals and 24/7, and we get a four-year average in each site. So we got 4 years of data in three sites. And then from there, we get a composite in each site and then put that together for that three-site four-year average. With that said, Tennessee is the 15th best recruiting program in the country, and their average rank was 15.4.
Number eight seed, and now we get to the four teams that won the first games, Ohio State. And talk about just an odd story for Ohio State.
Yeah, you know, the game against Oregon comes down to 1 point, 32-31. Ohio State is in field goal range, but mismanaged the clock. You know, Will Howard took off and needed to get down quicker and didn't. And so there he sits on about the 25-yard line with the game over. So very difficult loss for them. And then the inexplicable happens. They're a 21-point favorite over their arch rival. Yeah, they're at home. They've lost to them three straight times. You think that this is going to be a bloodbath, and Michigan comes out, gets them in the meat house, and just beats them up and wins the game 13-10. And, Chad, how they held that offense to 10 points, we'd have to have Scotland Yard and Nassau investigate to figure that out.
And, of course, it's not a surprise that they're still playing because, recruiting-wise, pretty good.
They are the third best recruiting program in the country. Right now, the number one did not make it, Alabama. Right. They on the system we use, Alabama came out one, Georgia two. But nonetheless, they have players everywhere. And then, as you know, that does not take into account the portal.
Right.
Because you've got the best safety in Caleb Downs. Well, Notre Dame would argue that, but you got with Watts. But nonetheless, you've got a great safety. Your quarterback's from in the transfer portal. So they've got guys that they were able to pick and choose and get in, which really heightened a already powerful starting lineup.
And then we come to Notre Dame, and like Ohio State, they were criticized mightily early in the season after that game against Northern Illinois, and yet able to rise from the ashes despite the criticism and ultimately be playing for a national championship.
Yeah, and I think you gotta tip your hat to Marcus Freeman and his coaching staff, as well as the players themselves. You know, that was an embarrassment. They got widely criticized for that. Many of the talking heads left them for dead, said they did not deserve to be in the college playoff, and yet Notre Dame found a way. And in fact, if they are to win Monday night, they will be the first team in the college football playoff years to have lost to a group of five team and then come back and win it. So I heard Thomas Hammock, the coach at Northern Illinois, he was saying that he called Marcus after the game, and he was sharing some things that they saw, and he also thought, which to his credit, that Notre Dame was going to work on their passing game against them, and he thought they never really came out and hit him with what they do best, their run game. So he was pretty magnanimous in what he had to say.
And the sixth seed was Penn State, and it was, again, a year for Penn State where they win a lot, but they don't win the games that they need to win, I guess is the way to put it. Again, I'm not one of those that will harp on, against top five teams. Well, you're facing top five teams. They're pretty darn good.
Yes.
But at the same time, they seem to be knocking on the door, and that door just has not opened yet for Penn State.
Yeah, and I should mention there was a congruity here with Notre Dame. They were ranked seventh or seeded seventh in the tournament, and that's exactly where they rank recruiting. Mm. They are the seventh best recruiting program in the country with a composite of 9.0, their average score. Anyway, with Penn State, you know, they lost to Ohio State, got stopped on the goal line. People forget that. They were in position to tie that game late. And then they played, I thought they played Oregon really well. You know, I mean, in that Big Ten championship game. And then they got in with SMU. And, you know, there was a lot of criticism. They didn't blah, 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 but, you know, and they did take it to SMU and looked awful good, beat them 38-10. And, yeah, they are the 13th best recruiting program in the country.
And then the number five seed was Texas. And, again, early in the season, it looked like maybe they were going to be the best team in the country. They had a little bit of a dip during the season as well, but this new system allowed them to work their way back into the playoff. And then ultimately just came up short of getting all the way to the championship game.
Yeah, you know, and if you remember early in the year, I believe it was the second week, they came to Ann Arbor, the Big House, and they took on Michigan. And it was kind of foreshadowing of the struggles that Michigan were going to have. They got handled there 31-12 by Texas. And then their next best win was the last game of the season against their long, long-time rival, A&M, you know, and they were able to get that done in a low-scoring game. They walked into the tournament and took on Clemson in the first round, beat him at home 38-24. As far as recruiting goes, Texas is the fourth best recruiting program in the country with a composite score of 6.4.
So that's a look at the number 5 through number 12 seeds and basically some information about those schools in the first college football playoff. We're going to look towards round 2 coming up next. And, of course, as we get into the show, we're going to talk more about the big game coming up on Monday as well. We'll take a quick timeout and then come right back. It's Sully's College Football Page on 98.9 WXCO.
Choose an agency with true 5G coverage. Advantage Insurance of Wausau. Great companies, great agents, great service, great rates, and great claims results. At Advantage Insurance, they support our local community and back you always. Call Advantage Insurance today for all of your insurance needs or go to AdvantageInsuranceWausau.com. They offer top-rated coverage and the best agents that provide you a true 5G experience for the best total coverage for all your insurance needs.
Tommy's Express Car Wash at 102 Bridge Street in Wausau and 1611 Schofield Avenue in Weston has the tools and experience to keep your car clean inside and out. Our wash packages let you pay for the services you want, including Tommy Garden Body Wax, wheel cleaning and tire gloss, an underbody flush and spot-free rinse. Give your vehicle the cleaning it deserves at Tommy's Express at 102 Bridge Street in Wausau and 1611 Schofield Avenue in Weston.
Buck Welsh has been working in the golf business since 1976, became a PGA member in 1984, and has been teaching for over 40 years. His philosophy has always been to work with the individual golfer, building on the way they do things and making them better with what they have to work with. Call Buck at 715-581-2646 or check out the website www.bucksgolfshop.com to get more info about lessons.
Looking for a part for your vehicle? Look to Hilltop Auto Wrecking in Wausau. Hilltop Auto Wrecking can help you find just about any part you need for your car, truck, or SUV. They have a great selection of auto glass and tires with lots of sizes ready to go. Hilltop Auto Wrecking is always looking to buy vehicles, so if you're stuck with an older junker, they can haul it away for cash. Hilltop Auto Wrecking, family owned and operated for over 40 years at 237-934 Del Rio Road, formerly 6806 North 33rd Street, Wausau. Call 715-675-3258.
Since 1981, Lopno's has been Wausau's favorite sports bar. Grab a bit of Wausau's past while you're watching your favorite sports teams at their historic turn-of-the-century establishment. Lopno's is the perfect place to catch all the sports action on their 15 enormous flat-screen TVs, enjoy a night on the town with friends, or have a celebration in their private party room. A great place for birthdays, anniversaries, clubs, or meetings. Lopno's, Wausau's oldest and finest sports bar, 3rd Street, Wausau.
Knowing the value of your home can be important for a variety of reasons. Hi, I'm April Rosemurgy with eXp Realty. I'd be happy to provide you with an estimated value of your home. I want to be the person you think of when it comes to real estate, whether that be buying, selling, or investing. If you'd like to know the value of your home, simply go to aprilrosemurgy.exprealty.com and click on What's My Home Worth? Again, that's aprilrosemurgy.exprealty.com and click on What's My Home Worth?
And welcome back. It's Sully's College Football Page on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. With Dan Sullivan, I'm Chad Holmes, and looking at round two of the college football playoff, it started off with one of the best games of the playoff, the Peach Bowl. Texas and Arizona State, for a while, it looked like Texas was just going to cruise into the semifinals, but Arizona State had a wonderful comeback and able to take it to extra time. And again, just I guess talk about we talked a little bit about Texas and their breakdown, and of course Arizona State, great first year in the Big 12.
Yeah, well, they come into that league first year in, and they find a way. That league was really about BYU, Colorado, Arizona State, and then there was one other team that is escaping me right now. Was it Kansas State? It might have been. But anyway, Arizona State emerges, and then they win their championship game. They really take it to Iowa State, and I'm sorry, that was the fourth team, not Kansas State, Iowa State. And so then they get involved in what you could argue was the best game of the entire tournament that to this point. Texas has got them down 16. It's fourth quarter. You think Texas is just going to run it through. And then Scatabu throws a halfback option pass about 54 yards for a score. Then he runs about 70 yards, and the only way they can get him down is tear his helmet off.
Right.
And then they score, and then he makes a two-point conversion, and I think he took about seven guys from Texas with them into the end zone. So, and then, Chad, fourth and 13, for Ewers. The game is over, man. They're not making this. And he throws a strike to the back of the end zone, and
Texas, ASU could taste it right there.
Yeah,
they knew, they it looked like they felt like they had the game won. I mean, the alumni they had there, they were showing them Jake the Steak and everyone else. It was done. It was over.
Yes,
in Texas, for able to do it.
And then a legendary win for Texas, and then in the overtime, Texas hits a pass, and then they intercept the pass, and so just like that, it's over. But what a game that was.
And what about ASU? They overachieved based on their recruiting rank, didn't they?
Yeah, they're only higher than SMU. They're ranked 60th as a recruiting program. And in fact, their sister school, Arizona, was picked higher than them. I know Phil Steele at the beginning of the season had them ranked of the 16 teams. He had them 15, and the coaches had them 16th. Mm. So they went from last to first in 1 year. So
pretty amazing.
Yeah, great year for them.
And then the Rose Bowl, Ohio State and Oregon. And, of course, we talked about this. Oregon won the first meeting you mentioned earlier in that thriller in Eugene. Ohio State had all the issues after the Michigan game, but then they put it together against Tennessee. Even then, you think, well, I mean, it should be a great game. But no, Ohio State came out and they just took it to Oregon. Oregon was the only undefeated team, the number one seed, the only undefeated team into this tournament. And I mean, it just takes away. I shouldn't say that, but it's hard to probably hard to swallow the do all they did during the season and then have it end just basically after the first half was over, the season was over.
If I remember right, wasn't it 21-0, or did it get to 34 to 1-0?
34, yes. Yeah. But quickly 21, then 34. Yeah.
You know, and Chad, there not a lot, but there was this twitch, this little tinkle of Oregon complaining about Ohio State. You know, they go unbeaten. They're the only undefeated team in the country in the Power Four. They win the Big Ten. They beat a very good Penn State team in the in the Big Ten championship. And the reward for that is to play arguably the best team in the country on paper, and who now was not only they looked better on the field than they looked on paper once the tournament started. So tough way for Oregon to have to go out here.
And that said, Oregon did survive some tight ones, even against a Wisconsin team that had such a disappointing year. They were undefeated, but they were not a dominant undefeated. The games against OSU and PSU were games that could have gone either way. The game against Wisconsin, they could have lost.
Yes.
The game early against Boise, they could have lost. They actually had a tough one against Idaho early that they, was tight way too long. They found ways to win all year. It was not dominant per se, except they were teams that they won. They were winners, that was for sure.
Yeah, well, those first two games, you started to wonder about them because the Idaho game. Am I saying that right? Idaho. Yeah. They were winning that game 17-14 in the fourth quarter against a pretty good FCS team, but not one of the better ones. And then they were losing to Boise State. They ended up winning that game 37-34, but they were down in the fourth quarter in that game. Yeah. And then after that, it looks like they had a come-to-the-townhouse meeting, and, man, they changed things after that.
And then it was Penn State taking on Boise State. And, of course, Boise, I doubt even in their wildest dreams that they thought they were going to be, getting a first-round bye and the seeding that they did receive. But they had a great year, but they ran into the powerful Penn State squad. But for Boise State, a fantastic year.
Yeah, this is a really good program. When they get in with Power Four teams that are among the elite, one of the things that you notice right away is everything happens about a quarter second quicker, and it happens a quarter second quicker with bigger people. And so it really is an uphill climb for a team like Boise. I thought they played with a lot of tenacity. They lined up and gave it what they had. But in the end, Penn State, who was really a very, very good team this year, and the bad news for everybody else, everybody's coming back. Both those runners, Singleton and Allen, announced they're coming back, and Aller's coming back. He'll probably be working out every day of the year, thinking about that over his body across the field late pick against ND. But anyway, Tennessee took care of business in this game.
And then the final second-round game was Notre Dame and Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. And Georgia never seemed like the powerhouse they had been. I mean, even, you know, they got the number two seed. They won the SEC championship. But in the end, they never were the same team that we had kind of seen for a few years, were they?
And I don't think they were. And I think for a lot of the SEC teams, it's going to be a paradigm shift now. Because, Chad, they have been able to stockpile five stars, you know, and so they get there and the transfer portal is just now starting to have like a small effect. But then with the advent of NIL, people could come in and raid your roster if those kids were in the portal. And Kirby was complaining about it earlier in the year that his roster wasn't as good as it's been. Well, you know, that's a fact. And what they're going to have to do, in my humble opinion, is they're going to have to start to emphasize development over recruiting and portal over recruiting, because they're not going to be able to retain people. And I shouldn't say over recruiting, but they're going to have to go shopping more in the portal to get their depth. They're going to be able to keep their primary players. But I just think it's a different world for them. And you saw that, Ted. I mean, they couldn't bring out, you know, hey, Louie, come on in here. Right. You play here now for a while. And not the same.
As we wrap up the second round, it's not good to have a bye. It was not good to be a conference champ.
Well, how about this? Conference champs, 0-5, didn't win a game. And the first round byes, the seats 1, 2, 3, and 4, all lost. All gone. So that's where I think you and I have talked about you really need to have your automatic bids and then reseat. Now let me ask you, if you were seeding the tournament this year, who would you have had as your top four?
Oh boy. That's you have to give Oregon be number one.
Number one is Oregon, okay.
Everyone else was flawed. I mean, number two, jeez. It's hard to go against Georgia because they did beat Texas twice.
I'm with you. I'd be Oregon one, Georgia two.
Then, number three. It almost that's getting harder and harder here. It gets really tight between Penn State, Texas, Notre Dame. I mean, I think Notre Dame was on a run, but again, I don't think they played the strength of schedule that either of those other two teams played. Penn State. I think I would have given Penn State.
Penn State, okay.
And then Texas, then Notre Dame.
Okay, and
I guess that's the way I would.
The only difference in what I would have done was I'm with you, Oregon. I'm with you, Georgia. Then I would have went Ohio State.
Despite the complete turkey they laid against Michigan.
Yes, I still was victimized. You know, this recruiting stuff that I do on the site, I got to tell you, I become a victim of it because, you know, you know who's there and you know what the roster's like. What we have absolutely got to do with Sully's College Football Page, we got to do a better job with the portal because that is changing things. But then Notre Dame and then Penn State. I would have had Notre Dame in front of Penn State, and I know a lot of people would be more in your corner, Penn State ahead of Notre Dame.
The biggest changes, and again, I mean, you could have kept the same order, I think, you know, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and not had a big argument. It's just that if you move the 3 and the 4 out, it would have been a lot fairer because if you say Ohio State's a number 6, that's still much different than them being a number 8.
That's 100% accurate. It was really about Arizona State and Boise State.
Exactly. I think that was the big thing. Actually.
And everybody loved the fact that they were in, or not everybody, but many
did.
No,
it's great that would be in, yes. But again, the seeding aspect, I think they're going to change that. I think that's pretty, I don't think they're going to keep it the same way.
It seems to be on the surface a relatively easy fix. Yeah. They can keep their number, the 12, and
yes.
They can, and if they do that, I think they're going to have, because that would have changed all these games.
Right.
They would have all been much, much different.
Okay, we got to take a timeout and then come back, talk about the semifinals coming up next. Again, it's the final edition of the season. Sully's College Football Page on 98.9 WXCO.
Are you a young person looking for that great career opportunity? Well, discover your Army career. With more than 200 jobs ranging from ground forces to medicine, you can choose your career and shape the future you want. You'll get the skills and hands-on training you gain from a career in the U.S. Army that can't be matched anywhere else. You'll build strength and character, train to be successful in your chosen field, and become part of a tight-knit community. Whether you work in science, engineering, communications, or ground forces, you'll have an integral role in the Army's success. Talk to an Army recruiter today.
Big Fat Designs can give your company the cutting-edge look it needs to attract customers and stand out from the rest. From websites and print designs to logos and letterheads, Big Fat Designs is your effective and affordable marketing solution. E-commerce, online customer database, video and audio players, Big Fat Designs does it all. And the best part, you deal with someone locally to talk with, to meet with, working hands-on towards your success. Big Fat Designs in Wausau. Find out more online at BigFatDesigns.com.
Fire up the grill. Grilling season is once again upon us, my brothers. Can I get an amen? Unleash the party trays, the beef sticks, cheese and sausage trays. There's no holding back once sports season starts. Zillman's is the place to get all your party food. Get your steaks, hot dogs, brats, hamburger patties, even homemade beans. What are you waiting for? And they always have their gift certificates that never expire. Zillman's, since 1961. Our worst is the best. On 6th Street in Wausau.
The warmth of your home is about making memories with family and friends and enjoying life's celebrations. At Menzner Hardwoods of Marathon, they understand the importance of bringing warmth to a place you call home. For over a century, their fifth-generation family business has been creating beautiful woodwork for the home and office, just as they have for over 130 years. Menzner Hardwoods looks forward to providing you with elegant wood products to enhance the beauty of your home or office. Visit them at MenznerHardwoods.com. Menzner Hardwoods, timeless beauty for your home or office.
Chief, we've got a situation.
What is it?
Trouble at the naval base, sir. I'll put it on the screen.
Jiminy Christmas, what happened to all our boat covers?
That's not the worst of it, sir.
No!
Afraid so, sir.
Not the boat upholstery, too. All those holes? It looks like Swiss cheese.
It's funny you mention that, sir. We found the culprit.
All right, Mouse. Who are you working for? The Russians? Take him to the brig and get Agent Dwayne from CIA on the horn now.
Dwayne's covered off. Dwayne speaking.
Agent Dwayne, your country needs you. A terrorist mouse has chewed up every single boat cover and piece of upholstery in the Navy.
I'll patch up what I can and replace what I can't.
Agent Dwayne, you're a great American.
Just doing my job.
Boat covers, seat upholstery, camper, deck, or patio awnings. When you need something covered or upholstered, call the CIA. Dwayne's Cover It All. Commercial accounts are welcome. Call or email Dwayne. Visit Dwayne'sCoverItAll.com.
The Navy Reserve Officer Training Corps Scholarship Program provides financial support for college students pursuing a degree while training to become a commissioned officer in the United States Navy or Marine Corps. Students who applied in the cycle last year had a 71% selection rate. Deadline to apply is December 15th for pre-med and January 31st for regular ed students. Scholarship benefits include full tuition, $750 annual book stipend, $250 to $400 monthly allowance. Educational requirements, SAT minimum 1100, math 540, and English 550, ACT minimum 22 English and 21 math, AFQT 81. 160-plus colleges, including 23 minority-serving institution scholarship reservation, open to all majors, including nursing and pre-med. For more information, contact Senior Chief Dustin Coons' email, dustin.a.coons.mil@us.navy.mil. Again, thanks to the Navy and their support.
hey, we wouldn't be here without some of the things that the Navy has been able to do. And I got to tell you, this year when I got a call from them, I thought it was a hoax. Because, you know, as you're quite aware, we bring them on for the Army-Navy
right.
game. But they called and said they would like to advertise on the site. And so kind of a shocker. And they are, without doubt, the biggest organization that we have that advertises with us.
Barely big, that's for sure. He's Dan Sullivan. I'm Chad Holmes. Sully's College Football Page, final edition. But even after the show comes to an end for another season, check out the website at sullyscollegefootballpage.com because all that information is there for folks all year long.
It is, and we'll be starting to produce on the site, on the page and post. We're going to start with the Big Ten. We're going to, you know, project them in the next year. All the schedules are now done, and then we're going to go through the SEC and then on to the Big 12 and then to the ACC. And then, Chad, we'll roll right into the Group of Five. And then all the while, we sprinkle in news and notes, things that are happening at college football. So we're pretty much producing some kind of blog every week.
There you go. College football playoffs, then in the semifinals. Again, massive matchups against Blue Bloods against each other. Ohio State and Texas in the Cotton Bowl. And a game that really turned right at the very end. Final score says 28-14, but it could easily have been an overtime game.
Well, you know, Texas is going in kind of reminiscent of what happened with Penn State, although not the recovery and the scoop and score, you know, with Jack Sawyer picking that ball up. But Texas is on the goal line. They got first and goal at the one. They got stuffed. And then they did something, Chad, that it was like a what moment. They tried a toss. And, you know, the toss was not like a lateral. It was deep. It was back to about the 9-yard line. And it looked like Caleb Downs was shot out of a cannon. I mean, he came flying through. He knocked the kid from Texas back. And then, you know, there's so much speed on the perimeter, you know, with those backs. You know, Burke, they come flying up, and Texas is now 3rd and 8. And then, of course, it comes to the play where you know, Ewers rolls to his left, and here comes old Jack Sawyer, as they call him, Captain Jack, and he hit the ball, and it looked, Chad, like a basketball. It just bounced straight up. It came right back to him, and then he's gone 80 yards for the score.
Actually, this week, some news with we talked about it last week about the baton being handed to Arch Manning, and it's official because Ewers does declare for the NFL draft.
Yes.
So,
you know, he was, they were saying this morning on, you know, the bull ride with a couple of guys that you would know, I'm not going to think of their name right now, but they were saying, they, on a good source, that he was offered $8 million to go to another college. But he apparently he sat down with his agent. He's, I believe, ranked 3rd quarterback, will be the 3rd quarterback taken. So if he can get late first-round money, he's going to do that more.
And there's really nothing. I mean, he could probably only hurt himself if he came back. I mean, it's hard to be in a position where you think he's going to be, you know, improve his stack, his stock, especially another year older.
I mean,
you don't want to be an old quarterback going into the league, you know, as a rookie. So,
and we don't know. I mean, off the top of my head, I don't know what quarterbacks are coming out next year, but you can bet they looked at that.
Yes,
and
it's not a great quarterback year.
Okay, yeah. So next year, instead of being 3rd, he might be 6th,
exactly.
And that could be a lot less money.
And then, of course, Notre Dame and Penn State, great game. 27-24 Notre Dame, pretty much what you would expect when those kind of programs get together.
Well, I'll tell you, the first half, I was watching it with my son, and we both thought, you know, the Irish have had a great year, but they just don't look like they're up to this. maybe our SEC commissioner was right, because Notre Dame did look a half a step slow when he said that game should be moved back a day so they got another recovery day. But whatever was said at halftime to those kids, and whatever adjustments L. Golden made against the run, and whatever Dembrock started doing with Notre Dame's run, it was like they switched uniforms. And now Notre Dame's O-line was controlling Penn State's D-line, and they were running. And then they flipped it. Notre Dame was able to get the upper hand against Allen and Singleton. So Notre Dame comes all the way back, ties it, and then takes the lead 17-10.
So, again, it was Notre Dame over Penn State. Any final, because we'll talk plenty about Notre Dame in the next hour for the national championship. In terms of Penn State, what's your overall take? Obviously, again, there's nothing wrong with getting to a national semifinal, but it still feels like if you don't win it all nowadays, especially the coaches that are among the most compensated in college football, what's your take on James Franklin? Is he going to ultimately get them to the top of the mountain? And generally, Penn State, did they move closer this year to where they ultimately want to be?
Franklin, I'm going to bring something up from years ago. And I don't know if you and I have ever talked about this, but Franklin was talking about his assistants, okay? And he was saying that one of the things that he looks at, and don't fall off your chair when I say this, how good-looking their wives are.
Oh, jeez.
He said this, and I'm thinking, what is this dude talking about, man? He was saying that if they can sell themselves to a beautiful woman, then they can sell themselves in the living room when they're recruiting. Geez. And I thought it was about as weird an analogy as I've ever heard anybody.
That is odd.
You know, yes. And so then when he got in, you and I kind of jawed at each other about this, when he got in the, in his press conference with Freeman, he talked about things that I thought, I didn't see him say anything that was outrageously wrong. I just thought it was the wrong venue. You know, sure. It's time to celebrate the Penn State, Notre Dame. You got this blue blood, whatever the committee did, man, they got a great game here, and they got a great game with Texas and Ohio State. So he's just, I guess I would use the word different. Not better or worse, just different. And then I really felt bad for Aller. You know, he is a very good player. And, you know, that decision he made, rolling left, and then trying to throw across, you know, get his hips and shoulder turned, which he didn't really, across the middle, you know, and it was late. And there, there comes Christian and picks it off. And it sets the stage for a thrilling end to a game that Penn State may have been able to get. I would have gotten to overtime, and maybe with a little better decision there, they could have went down and got a field goal position.
All right.
Great game.
We got to take another timeout, and we're going to come back and step outside the lines a little bit, talk a little bit about the transfer portal, NIL, a little bit more before we start to focus on, again, in the second hour, the national championship game, which is coming up on Monday. We'll take a timeout. Be right back. It's Sully's College Football Page on 98.9 WXCO.
For over 30 years, Webco has worked with corporations, schools, organizations on their apparel and promotional needs. Webco can handle small quantities to orders in the thousands with a fast turnaround. Webco of Wausau, 1405 West Thomas Street. You don't have to choose between personal, hometown service, and the latest banking technology. Brokaw Credit Union has it all. Whether you're looking to finance your first home, grow your savings, or get a new set of wheels, we're here to help. Check us out at brokawcu.com. Since 1997, Mountain Bay Auto Care has been serving central Wisconsin with top quality and affordable car repair and service. With ASC certified mechanics, stop by 5702 Stella Avenue in Schofield or call 715-355-8646.
Thinking about changing to organic or natural foods? Then you need to stop at Red Clover Market at the Total Rental location in Weston. Family-owned Red Clover Market, your healthy natural food store. Open Monday through Saturday.
I don't only travel once or twice a year, but when I do, I go big. Exotic places, incredible hotels, new experiences. It has to be memorable. That's why I call Travel Leaders of Wausau. They get me, and they take care of all the details, so I don't have to worry about a thing.
Travel Leaders gets you, and we get you there. Travel better. Call Travel Leaders of Wausau at 715-355-4437.
And can't forget the sandals. And the right sunglasses.
Football season is upon us, and we all know that the most important person on the field is the quarterback. The QB guides his team through difficult and often confusing circumstances. The same is true for Gassner & Associates. Whether you're dealing with individual tax preparation, payroll services, probate assistance, or merger acquisition, Mark Gassner and his team are the people you want at the helm. Contact Gassner & Associates at 715-356-6419. That's 715-356-6419. Oh, and by the way, Mark was a successful high school quarterback.
It takes a lot to impress us at Jim Kreshock Jewelers. I mean, we see gorgeous diamonds, gemstones, and incredible jewelry every day that we've chosen for our selection. But when a diamond jewelry line like this one comes along, well, our eyes really widen up and our mouths drop open and our hearts beat a little faster. Yours will too when you stop in and check out our Fire and Ice collection of diamonds and diamond jewelry. Their slogan is bigger, brighter, whiter. And it's a difference you can see, which is the most important. Each Fire and Ice diamond is cut to maximize the performance of light coming into and leaving the diamonds to create amazing sparkle and brilliance. So whether you're planning on getting engaged or upsizing your current diamond, or just want something completely new with more sparkle and dazzle than you've ever seen before, stop in and check out our Fire and Ice collection. It's exclusively available right here at Jim Kreshock Jewelers at our one and only location on Rib Mountain Drive in Wausau.
And welcome back. It's Sully's College Football Page on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. With Sully, I'm Chad Holmes. And one of the issues that has been out there along with the games here over the last number of weeks has been incredible numbers in the transfer portal, continuing discussions about the different kinds of ways that players can make money through their name, image, and likeness. And it looks like maybe some changes that I think could be a good thing in terms, especially of the transfer portal.
Yeah, there's no doubt that changes are coming. I don't think anybody, from this perspective of the athletic directors, the athletic programs, the coaches, are really on board with this kind of laissez-faire element that we're all operating in. It's kind of difficult. You know, it used to be recruit and develop. And as you and I have talked, it's now recruit, develop, and retain is as important, because people are going to raid your roster if the players decide to go into the portal. You know, prior to that, they cannot, but they're not supposed to, I should say. But once they enter that portal, they're kind of fair game. And so we were seeing kind of a trickle effect. But then, Chad, when NIL came and started to get in a swing where you can now make big money going into the portal if you're a five-star at Georgia and you're not playing and you decide that, hey, Michigan's going to offer me $4 million to come up there and play, I'm out of here, you know. And so that really has set the portal on fire.
No kidding. I mean, it's, and again, I'm very curious to see if we're going to see more general managers and more of a pro-like front office structure in college athletics than what we've seen with an athletic director and coaches. I think we're going to see people that are going to be almost like salary cap experts being brought into the mix in the next couple of years.
And I got to tell you, that's very insightful, because it's foreshadowing of what we're going to talk about in segment five, some ideas that are out there. And one of them is a college football commissioner, somebody that would oversee it.
Boy, again, it's just going to be, What do you think the number of scholarship players is going to mean ultimately?
Well, you know, what they're doing is they are going to change from 85 to 105. Yeah. And the interesting thing there is that is going to cost about 3,000 players their walk-on status, because really? That's going away. And so you're going to have 105 scholarship play. You can give up to that. And I don't know they're holding the universities to, right now in the FBS, you must give 85 scholarships. In the FCS, 63 scholarships, but you don't have to give 63. You can give 36 if you want it. And so I don't know if there's not going to be a less of a demand that you must give 105. What they're going to say is you can't go over that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, one of the interesting things is that about 300 players, or about 3,000 players, excuse me, because you've got 134 teams, yeah, and you know most of the rosters are about 130, you know, where they bring all the walk-ons and gray shirts and all the other things they invent. So it's going to be definitely different.
Is it good or bad?
Well, here's, you know, that's a really good question.
I mean, you hear the stories about the walk-ons. Boy, you hate to see the walk-ons not get the opportunity. That seems the professionalization of it.
It is. That's a good word and a good way to think of it. And I can tell you this. I read this a lot, what's going on with it, and it's confusing. And I am now fairly convinced that nobody knows what the end product is going to be. They just keep going with it. And, you know, for instance, next year, the coaches now have unanimously passed the portal will be from January 2nd to January 12th. I think that's a good thing. Yeah. September or December now, rather, is a completely dead zone. They can have no contact with families, players, and there'll be nothing with the nothing in the portal. That will not start until pretty much the bowl season
is ended. 10 days enough, though? I mean, in terms of a new year off the air, in that 10-day period, do the players have to put their name in the portal and then make a decision on the new school all within that 10 days?
No. They have 10 days to put their name in the portal.
So they don't have to make the decision.
They do not. Okay. They're not subject to making the decision then. Here's the deal, though. When you do that, your scholarship is now void.
Yep.
You have opted out of the scholarship. Now, the colleges, Chad, you know, if you and I decide that, you know, I see Mick walking around out there. If we decide that Mick is worth, you know, maintaining the scholarship because right, he can help us, then we will. If we think there's somebody else, boom, he's out of luck. So when you enter the portal, de facto, you have reneged on your letter of intent.
You better know that there's someone else out there, right?
Yeah, you know, and then you start getting in the nebulous areas, because before you're in the portal, you're really not supposed to be talking to other schools or they to you.
And then, of course, it all has to do with the NIL as well and opt-outs and all this stuff. And we're going to take a timeout because we're at the end of the first hour. Then we're going to come back and delve a little bit more, because the big picture in terms of the way that college athletics is right now, where it is, where it's going, still so much moving in terms of the moving parts here.
It really is, yeah.
So we'll take this quick timeout and then come back and have hour number two of the show. It's Sully's College Football Page on 98.9 WXCO.
It's hard to find great Italian food in Wausau unless you're familiar with Carmelo's Italian Restaurant. Established in 1986 by the Oliva family, three generations still strive to provide a family atmosphere and fine dining experience. Carmelo's is proud to serve authentic Italian made with fresh ingredients. Their recipes have been handed down from generation to generation. Reservations are recommended Tuesdays through Sundays, and they are closed on Mondays. Carmelo's Italian Restaurant, located at the base of Granite Peak on North Mountain Road, Wausau. Check them out at carmelositalian.com.
Are you looking to furnish a new home, apartment, or cabin? Are you looking for quality clothing at a reasonable price? Well, if you are, be sure to stop at St. Vincent de Paul at 131 West Thomas Street in Wausau. Make them your first stop, your one-stop shop for furniture, clothing, accessories, home products, and much more. And remember, St. Vincent de Paul in Wausau is more than just a thrift store. It's a local ministry meeting the needs of our community. Your purchases benefit those in need right here at home. So shop St. Vincent de Paul at 131 West Thomas Street in Wausau, where your purchases benefit your neighbors. Where did the good old days go? From going to the old A&W drive-in to cruising the strip in town, all things change. Some things stay consistent. For almost 75 years, Redant Insurance in Rib Mountain has been providing quality service to its customers. One of the oldest agencies in the area. Your family and neighbors come here. Now it's your turn. Call 715-845-9204. Click RedantInsurance.com or stop by 227501 Rib Mountain Drive. Redant Insurance Agency, our family helping yours. As a proud member of the Wausau Marathon, Edgar, and Athens communities, Peterson Kramer Funeral Home has built a reputation for having a deep commitment to personal service. When you need compassionate concern and expert guidance day or night, Peterson Kramer Funeral Home is the one to call. You can trust them to take care of every detail at a time it matters most. Located in Wausau, Marathon, Edgar, and Athens, Peterson Kramer Funeral Home, friends you've trusted and depended on since 1914.
The Mint Cafe, serving old-fashioned American comfort food in a cozy atmosphere. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, your choice is the Mint Cafe. Call ahead for carryouts, deliveries to downtown Wausau, and catering is also available. Check them out at mintcafewausau.com.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
The Dirks Group started in 1999 as an alternative to traditional IT service providers. From the start, they focused on customized solutions for the needs of each client. Today, they serve over 400 customers from locations in Wausau and Eau Claire. Go to dirksgroup.com for more information.
The Intermission Bar, located in the heart of downtown Wausau, is a warm, friendly, comfortable spot to enjoy time with old friends and meet new ones as well. Free live music 3 nights a week featuring some of the Midwest's finest talent, The Intermission, a social establishment. Trap River Golf Course in Wausau is a unique 18-hole public course. The relaxed atmosphere and breathtaking Northwood scenery is sure to make your golfing day a satisfying experience. For membership information and tee times, call Trap River Golf Course at 715.